listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour mes amis, comment ça va? Je m'appelle Ed McGrogan. We're back with the Tennis in 10 podcast, your daily look at Roland Garros in under 10 minutes. And we're down to the final four. Two women, two men left to decide the champions in Paris. And as we went over in yesterday's podcast in detail, we have Yelena Ostapenko and Simona Halep vying for the championship on the women's side. And on the men's side, it is two familiar warriors on clay, both former French Open champions. Stan Wawrinka, a one-time titleist, will take on Rafael Nadal, a nine-time winner on the Terabet 2. In what I hope is a more competitive test for Rafa than we saw today against Dominic Thiem. In that match, we saw yet another. I cannot believe the amount of lopsided sets in the second week of this year's French Open. There was a 6-1 and a 6-0 set today. There have been multiple 6-love sets in the second week across both draws. And tough for me to figure because, I mean, this does happen a lot when you build up matches and you know, you often, they don't live up to what you expected them to be, but rarely do you see some of them fall as flat, in parts, I should stress, as some of them have, you know, this year, as we've seen this year at the French Open. But yet again, we had an instance where, clearly Thiem, you know, he had made inroads throughout the clay court season. He'd beaten Rafa before this year on clay. And he came into this match off a win over Djokovic. But when it came time to face the greatest the game has seen at the French Open on his turf and best 3 out of 5, and maybe that's, you know, one of the big differences is this was a best 3 out of 5 battle against Rafa. And, you know, two sets had elapsed and it was almost like Thiem didn't have what was necessary, obviously, to overcome Rafa. And it sort of played out symbolically and in reality in the third set of what turned out to be a very one-sided affair, very drama-free. And, you know, Rafa, to his credit, his immense credit, he takes care of business very, you know, in a most efficient way. He does so before there's any chance of nightfall in Paris. That's, you know, that was because the first semifinal of Andy Murray and Stan Wawrinka took 4 hours and 36, 4:36, 5 sets. It was worth every minute of it. I thought it was a tremendous match. Of course, it also ended, you know, on a whimper. Even then, though, as I wrote in my piece about the match, Murray still kind of giving all to the bitter, bitter end. And it was a bitter end for him. He really played a very opportunistic, I think aggressive for him, certainly, and certainly what he had to do against a guy who was all-out aggressive like Wawrinka. Murray took his chances when he had to. He certainly, I think, the two sets he won, he trailed by a break in both of them, but you know he finds ways sometimes to, and Murray is the ultimate guy, I think, who you can't let hang around. You could say that with a lot of the great men's players of this era, but Murray in particular, you're kind of asking for it if you're just unable to kind of put him away when you can. And it was surprising that Murray won the first set. It may have been a little bit of a surprise in the third set, too, considering the deficit. And then, you know, by that point, you're thinking, you know, Stan is in a whole lot of trouble here. And he was. And he, you know, he had to prevail in a very tight fourth set where there was all holds. No break points were allowed in the first 12 games. But Stan, he never wavered from his strategy, you know, a time-tested strategy that's won him 3 Grand Slams. Everyone except Wimbledon, I will stress here for all you, all the Twitter faithful who just get such a kick out of pointing out mistakes. It's really a great thing you guys do there. But that's what rode him to this win in that tiebreaker, and certainly the match overall. And as I said, we get what could be a good final. We said that for the Cavaliers and Golden State too in the NBA. But we'll see what happens. And by no means am I comparing Stan to LeBron, but what I'm saying here is that, Rafa could certainly be construed to be the Golden State Warriors of clay court tennis. There's no denying that. And, as we've seen over in the association, even though it appeared that, we would have a formidable challenge in this final, and it remains to be seen, I suppose, it is borne out that, the superiority, the heavy superiority of Golden State's winning out that one. And it will take a tremendous effort from Wawrinka to not only beat Rafa, but maybe even to keep this one, relatively close too. Because, all you need to look at is what Nadal just did against Thiem and what he's done for the almost, every single match he's played on clay this year, short of one, to see that the guy is clearly back in his groove on the surface. And it will take all of Wawrinka, all of his firepower, all of his savvy, and everything about him to pull off the upset. It'd be a huge upset. The things that Wawrinka has going for him, he is 3-0 in Grand Slam finals. He's beaten Rafa in one of them. His first title came in Melbourne in 2014. He's only beaten Rafa and Djokovic to win his three slams, and he will again come into this as a pretty sizable underdog too, and that's what he's thrived on. Stan has rarely had to play the role of the heavy favorite, and when he has done that in tour events, he hasn't worn that crown very particularly well. So, by no means can you count Stan out of this one from the start, but I do think. I do think it's a pretty tall order for him. He will, in ways, him and Yelena Ostapenko, the women's underdog against a very seasoned opponent on clay. There are some similarities there, but I think, I almost wonder what the bigger sort of disparity is in a way. Is it Halep against Ostapenko, considering their experience difference, or is it Rafa and Stan just in the general, their excellence at Roland Garros? So it should be, I hope it's a good one. We'll see. There is every chance in the world that we could see yet another 6-0 set, by either guy, probably not by Stan, but, it's out there considering what we've seen so far. And if Stan does happen to pull this one out, he is in some really rarefied air in terms of slams. He would be up to 4 now at that point. He's getting up there with some of the greats of the game. And he's considered one already. And I was thinking about this earlier. I know, we've kind of, some people take such issue with the term Big Four because Murray's thrown in there, whether he belongs in there or not. I've always said that he has because not only of his slam record, but his record elsewhere. He's a world number one. And, I think if Stan somehow wins this, he's in. It's a handful. It's a big five. So, I think with that, we have a surprise guest here on the podcast, but maybe that's a good time to call it a day a little early here as we warm up for the weekend. We'll be back to talk about the men's and women's finals. Hopefully without the Beagle interrupting me on the Tennis in 10 podcast. Au revoir.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.